Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
From the blackest corners of your mind, they call, pulling you deep into shadow, twisting your senses, keeping you from sleep. It's time to face your darkest fears. This is Tales to Terrify. Good evening, children of the night, and welcome. Just dropping in quickly to let you know that yes, I did survive the oubliette I was cast into for the last month, and to give a shout out to Meredith, Crystal, and Kathy for helming Women in Horror Month. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. But before you get all cozy and settle back into business as usual, I'm not stepping back into the hot seat just yet. We've got a handful of other familiar voices that will be taking over the mic as guest hosts over the next month. We've got an incredible range of talented and passionate people working behind the scenes to bring you this show. And we'd like to take some time to recognize and give you a chance to get to know them better too, children of the night. So, wish me luck as I'm cast back into the pit for a few more weeks. At least I know you're in the best of hands. To kick us off, here's Seth.
Good evening, children of the night. Welcome to Tales to Terrify. My name's Seth. I'm a narrator here as well as the managing editor. And I'm here, of course, to share a story with you, but also to share some news. Part of my role here is to work with Meredith and the team of readers to identify stories to produce. So I'm here to announce that Tales to Terrify is open for submissions. And we've increased our pay rate for original work from 1 cent per word to 2 cents per word. We're trying to publish the best stories we can get for you. If you're a patron, thank you. If you'd like to become a patron and help us pay our authors as much as we can, please visit our website at www.talestoterrify.com and click the links to support. Now, while we're open for submissions from everyone, I'm extending an additional invitation. I belong to a community, and we do truly amazing things. Though, many times, we're forced to blend in or be invisible. I personally like to identify as a ninja. So, to my others, brothers and sisters on the autism spectrum, or those who identify as neurodivergent, Send in your stories. Don't worry, you don't have to disclose a diagnosis. Just go to www.talestoterrified.com/submissions and follow the steps. Now remember that stories that are submitted outside of the listed guidelines will not be read. So dust off your quills. Someone out there must still have a quill. And send us your best. I can't wait to read them, and I can't wait to share them on the show. On tonight's show, we have one tale for you, which comes from Paul Van Sickle. Paul Van Sickle works in Dublin as a costume designer and is currently querying a collection of short stories. Their work has appeared, or is forthcoming, in The Stinging Fly, The Belfield Literary Review, The Martello Journal, Coffin Bell Journal, Kagibi, New World Writing, and elsewhere. They hold an MPHIL in creative writing from Trinity College Dublin and studied fiction at Bennington College. Children of the Night, join me for Paul Van Sickle's Dwelling, a Tales to Terrify original.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The litter disturbing my chewed-up floorboards had no return address. A pewter splotch of wax beneath my name like a puckered mouth. I never expected a reply. I almost hadn't sent the first letter. There'd been something comforting about holding on to the possibility of it. If only writing something had ever felt like enough. I opened the door instead of the letter. Nobody except a cat I'd seen wandering around the building. It said, meow, and left. Cats always landed on their feet. Be like a cat, I thought, walking back to my musty studio, not like buttered bread. I sat, placing the letter atop notices from the Department of Labor, an old jury summons, spam about a class action suit. I stared at my computer screen, tried to remember what I'd been doing. I had enough email addresses for a free year of Netflix, but nobody to respond to. It was lonely deleting rejections, the monthly newsletters I don't think I signed up for, the bills and the pizza ads, no. What was lonely was not knowing whether I'd lose more money to the bills or the pizza ads. I'd been a photographer. Under my lens, the eyes of pheasant's tail feathers became the scales of a rainbow trout. A falcon could be a poem, a kingfisher a symphony. But every photograph was still only a capture, every success a cruelty. My gift had been to transfigure. So, of course, what started as beauty became scandal. Of course, there was nothing else I was good at. Photography was impossible without exposure, and my talent had been overexposed, left too long in the developing fluid. I'd been lucky enough to grow up without really understanding capitalism. The innocent bystander in a dodgeball game who somehow ended up the last remaining, balls rolling around the field as they chucked one in desperation before the hard rubber snapped back in defeat. Everything does indeed have a price. I just never understood prices were rarely monetary. It had been months, and the unemployment checks were starting to run thinner than the walls of my parched studio. What would Tim have to say? Could he forgive my desperation after we split? My own personal falling star? I'd have chased Tim through a black hole if it swallowed him up. I ripped the letter open with a crusted fork. The wax had bled a little through the envelope. The first words blotted blue. I have a castle. Remember that stupid career planning class where they asked about our 10-year plans? And I said all I wanted was a castle, and then the professor told me having a castle wasn't a career and I failed? Well, now I've got one. Somewhere big enough for all our friends to hang out, do whatever we like. I'm sending out invitations for if you ever need to get away. There's a tower with your name on it. XOXO Lee. We all had that friend, the one you kept around because you could never decide if the world would break them and you wanted to provide protection, or if they started out a little broken and it was the world that needed protecting. Lee was ours. He would murmur, "When I get my castle," as we tried to fall asleep after parties. We teased him about it, flaunted our relationships at him, our jobs, our success. He called them compromises. I watched him fall apart over his lack of a castle, and all anybody could recommend to Lee was that he find a purpose. My phone trembled atop a pizza box, lit up and buzzed like a firefly stuck on its back. I watched, thinking what an ugly bug it would be. I wished it would flip over and scuttle away, but remembered it might be a job. "Hello? Daniel, did you get my letter yet?" Lee. I recognized the drawl, the way he rolled words out like pretzels, the way he waited to twist them. "Lee," I said, "what was the price of your castle?" "Letting everybody give up on me?" "Yeah," I coughed. "I think I know how that feels." "That's why I'm calling, Daniel. Heard you ain't doing too hot." I didn't say anything. "Well," Lee said, "I'm just letting you know we all miss you here."
"All?"
"Yeah, you're the only one left. Alexia just got here. Kate, Owen, Lucy, Tim's on his way back now." My stomach clenched as Tim's name was spoken. "Look," Lee said, "just come for a week, rejuvenate. We'll have you back in the city chasing birds in no time. Or you can stay if you like. There's a tower with your name on it. I'll think it over, I said. Lee couldn't pick me up from the airport, so I was the last passenger in a rideshare. I had to type coordinates into my phone because it didn't believe the address existed. The driver, my phone informed me, was hard of hearing. I still wanted to talk to stay calm. We meandered up a dirt road, messy ochre trees waving away beyond the glass. I spied a grouse, something nobody else would see. But I'd learned how to get close, knew how to wait for weeks, months. The perfect moment always took a lifetime. We reached the castle, and I couldn't believe how small it was, huge compared to my studio. As a castle, it disappointed. It looked like a child's drawing, like a Lego building put together from odd extra pieces. It may as well have been made of woodblocks. The castle was crude, and I equated its crudeness with childhood, with Lee. I said thank you to my driver, and remembered he couldn't hear me. We exchanged an awkward thumbs up, and I retrieved my bags. I typed out a tip, realizing as he pulled away that there was no self-service. A cat with Farrah Fawcett hair brushed against my leg. It purred as I gave it a half-hearted pat and stared at the drawbridge. Two small turrets rose like ears, whiskers of ivy creeping along the wall. The wood was scummy and chipped from where it met the edge of the moat. Could I announce myself? Just as anxiety set in, the castle opened its maw. The drawbridge fell a little too fast, slammed into the ground with a slight slosh from the slimy moat. A swarm of mosquitoes rose from the water, and the Farrah Fawcett cat ran across the bridge. Another cat with bristly black hair joined it. I stepped forward, relieved the drawbridge felt solid. Lee called from the rampart as he wound a lever, drawing the bridge up. It smacked back and forth, lapping at the water before rising. Lee loved to ask questions like, "What article of clothing would you be?" He'd be a derby hat, too spiky to be comfortable, too fluffy to take seriously. I thought maybe I was an ugly pair of trousers with a silver lining. People back in the city expect to be suits, ball gowns. But most of us will always be lumpy shoes, a hoodie at the bottom of the pile beneath someone's bed. "You look awful," Lee said. "Perhaps you'd like a bath." "Why isn't your drawbridge automated?" It was all I could think to say. He shrugged. "They will be one day." He trudged through a muddy yard overgrown with weeds. I noticed more cats. The wiry black one was back, or had a twin. A tabby scuttled its butt, imagining itself invisible. There were cats on the walls, cats in the windows. It felt like treading through a new neighborhood. Everyone staring and pretending not to stare. I did my best to return the favor. Pay them no heed. "You're staying in the north turret," Lee said, pointing to a stumpy offshoot growing from the castle like cancer or a mushroom. "You can get reacquainted with everyone at dinner, about an hour from now." Lee led me to an octagonal room, my tower. The floor was bare, covered in scratch marks. The brocaded furniture, too, was pocked and tattered from what I assume were cat claws. Cats had 9 lives. I figured I'd have about 4 left. You had to surrender one to childhood. I must have lost a life to my job, too. I lost another to Tim, wherever he was. The others were a mystery, but sometimes we have to forget deaths for our own good. I expected dinner to be a feast fit for old friends. I expected platters of grapes, a roast chicken, gold plates and silk doilies. I expected the Last Supper, but what I got was the potato eaters. Lee munched on a greasy burger, its red and yellow box next to him. There was another wrapped-up burger in front of the empty chair I assumed I was supposed to sit in. There was a box of Pop-Tarts in the middle of the table, and there were cats. At least 10 cats. I resisted the urge to count. I eyed the porcelain bowls of raw meat they chewed from. I eyed their lapping mouths. Could feel the barbs of their tongues. One looked up at me. It had nice teeth for a cat. Its gaze followed my feet as I walked around the table and sat down, trying to ignore the fact I couldn't tell which smell was my dinner and which was theirs. I reached for the Pop-Tarts. "So," I said, "you can afford the castle, but no cook?" Lee smiled. "There's a government program. They give you a castle if you can provide them with a plan for renovation." I thought back to his letter, ignored a cat hacking up a hairball at the edge of the table. "Your 10-year plan is this castle?" "Our 10-year plan, if you like." A cat with plushy gray fur and familiar eyes glanced over. A photographer who shot cheetahs told me you should never break eye contact with felines. Something about dominance. "You expect me to stay here?" "I would. This could be really special." "Special? Special?" I threw my arms out at the lapping, chomping, spitting cats. "What about them?" "Like I said," Lee smiled, "we are here. You were the only one missing." Lee wiped his mouth and walked to the Farrah Fawcett cat. I looked closer at the tawny curls, the bright blue eyes which seemed wrong in a cat I felt should have yellow eyes. "You were right, Kate," Lee said, pinching its cheeks. "But how long has it been since he's seen you?" Lee lifted the squirming cat from the table, its hind legs remaining on the wood as it strained and stretched like a bad argument. I nibbled at my doughy Pop-Tart. It tasted like being sick of oatmeal for breakfast. The cat won the struggle and skittered off. The others paid it no heed. The raw meat in their identical bowls their only care. Except one. The cat was ashy, as if it couldn't decide between gray or brown. Its back was arched and its eyes were fixed on my mouth. I knew those eyes. Lee stroked the cat and its back settled. "Kate said you didn't recognize her, but you always did take special notice of Tim, didn't you?" The eyes were uncanny. "Lee, you know that's a cat, right?" "Tim," he said, nodding. I looked around the table. The chunky tabby kind of moved like Owen, Lee confirmed. "And there's Lucy and Karen, Emil, Jake, David, Luna. Alexia is upstairs indisposed. I fear she's a bit sick since leaving." All the cats had features I recognized. The shape of the face, the proportion of legs. One had a black mark just like the bow tie Emil wore throughout high school after watching too much Doctor Who. "You know what, Lee? I might go take that bath after all." "The boiler takes a while to heat up," Lee said, shrugging at a pot of dead flowers. The tub lay nestled in an alcove of my tower, covered in chipped lilac tile. The dull metal made it hard to tell if the tub was clean. The faucet grumbled and hacked up something gray. By the time the water heated, it ran clear. It was about the only thing that felt clear as I submerged myself. Was Lee so lonely he'd replaced us all with cats? No, I knew loneliness. His actions felt more like lunacy. What did they say about hoarders? Obsessive compulsive? I wanted to call somebody, to run away. Could you report something like this to the police? Could they do anything other than take the cats away? Steam bloomed up to the angled ceiling as I tried to let my stress abate. But still, what to do? I couldn't stay. That was clear. My worry was that I was a coward. If I left, I might pretend none of it had happened, would carry on and leave the cats and the castle to their fates. No wonder the amenities were such a mess. I was surprised when the hot water had spurt down into the tub, though it was already cooling. Starting to doze, I imagined what I might look like as a cat. The paunch would be easy to capture. My eyelids flickered as I heard something. I feared the cats had come calling. Scratching? Not quite. My doorknob was turning. The door opened, and I banged my head against the copper tub as a woman ran in. "Alexia, can't you see I'm in the bath?" Her frizzy brown hair had begun graying. Her skin seemed grayer, too. She wore a lavender jumpsuit, breathing as if she'd run a great length. "Alexia," I said, taking in her owlish face, "are you all right?" "Sorry," she panted. "I've been looking for the room he stuck you in for hours. Here, let me get dressed." She shook her head, gulping, and stared at me. Her eyes changed, her expression crinkling into a grimace. I grasped for a towel as she grasped at her throat. She started coughing. I found the towel and wrapped it around me as I ran towards her. She collapsed to all fours and raised her chin to the ceiling, arching her back with each frenzied breath. "Alexia?" She spat, her eyes unfocused. I came closer and she waved me away. "You have to," she choked, spitting and spitting. I put a hand on her shoulder, felt her convulsing. She gagged, and a pile of her hair tumbled from her mouth. More and more hair came, unfolding from her lips in sticky strands. Alexia retreated from the slick mass even as more spewed out. She walked backwards on all fours, the hair spilling from her throat like soft serve, circles of congealing hair trapping her in. She looked at me, back arching even further. All I could do was shake my head. The towel fell from my body, but I hardly noticed. She had backed herself into the middle of my tower, trapped in the center of a labyrinth of hair. It stank like vinegar. I could feel the heat of it, the saliva and stomach acid lining it. Alexia still spat. She was shrinking, diminishing as her hair piled up. It formed a slick gray cage around her. She shrunk and shrunk, and I heard cats yowling, heard rattling and scraping. The hair was swallowing her up. She hissed, clawed at the stifling locks, spun on her stomach, and writhed. It was so hot, I couldn't breathe. I felt suffocated watching her transformation, so afraid hair would start tumbling out of my own mouth. Meowing was everywhere. The hair was everywhere. Why was it so hard to breathe? "Daniel?" I was in the bathtub, Lee hovering over me. "Where's Alexia?" "Alexia? She's sick in her room. I told you that at dinner." "Daniel, what was that?" "What do you mean?" "I mean," Lee said, "I walked in here and you were unconscious at the bottom of the bathtub." "I'm not following." Lee ran his hands through his hair. "Look, I just want you to know I'm here for you. We all have these thoughts sometimes, and I know what this year's been like for you." "I'm not suicidal, Lee." "I want to believe you. What can I do to help?" "Show me Alexia, now." Lee fidgeted, his face blank. "Okay." My towel felt wet as I reached for it. Lee noticed me grimace at it. "You were thrashing about when I walked in," he said. "Look, there's water all over the floor." or I already dried myself off. I dressed in the clothes I'd traveled in. They smelled like the raw meat from dinner. Lee led me down a mangy corridor. A cat brushed against my ankle. I shook it off. Wondered if it was the Tim cat. We climbed chunky stone stairs to an old oak door. Lee fished a ring of keys from his pocket, rifling. He flipped a switch. The room filled with light like burnt butter. There was an unmade bed, a footlocker, and a small cat folded in on itself. "Poor babe," Lee said. "She's having a hard time adjusting." I plucked the cat from the bed, inspected it. It was a Devon Rex. An ex-boyfriend had one because they're hypoallergenic. The cat had short, curly hair, long legs, and huge eyes. Beyond that, I didn't really think it looked like Alexia. "Gray cats are referred to as blue," I said, setting the cat back on the bed. It rotated its ears, scanning. "You shouldn't upset her like that," Lee said. "How would you feel if I came into your room while you were sick and started picking and prodding at you?" He led me back to the ramparts. I struggled to separate my nightmare from the dozing cat, separate my dread from the sick friend in front of me. Could I broach it without upsetting him? "Lee," I faltered. "I'm sorry, but I think this was a mistake. I'm going to leave in the morning." "Aren't the stars here beautiful?" We didn't get stars in the city. I lost the thread of the conversation I imagined Lee and I having. It had been too many months since I'd seen a sky like that. Nature became frightening when you'd been away long enough. This, I shuddered, was also how I felt about Lee. "I get it," he said. Then, distracted, "Oh, look." He pointed out a shooting star. "They make me so sad." I gestured at the castle. "Because you got your wish?" "No. Every asteroid thinks it's going to demolish a planet, wipe out the dinosaurs. Truth is, they all burn themselves down into cinders. So small the water doesn't even ripple on impact. All that work, travel, all that time, for nothing." "We're not talking about shooting stars anymore, are we?" Lee stroked my back until I pulled away. "Just stay a couple of days. Can you do that for me, Daniel? You owe it to us." I couldn't. Cat stressed me out on a good day. The stars pressed down, as if the whole sky were coming to smother me. "Lee, just 3 days." I watched the trees swaying in the starlight beyond the castle. "I'll try." Dawn licked its way through the windows of the tower, stretched out its haunches, and became a new day. I wasn't sure whether I'd slept. I didn't dream. There was rustling, the sound of forest or maybe cats. There was the strange cozy heat of a stone building, and there was the tangle of my thoughts as I drifted somewhere between sleep paralysis and disassociation. I remember dread, my body limbless as a beetle stolen by ants. I remember the rustling turning into a scrabbling to a definite scratch at my door. A soft meow, a softer retreat. Getting out of bed felt impossible, but the claws insisted. I stomped over to frighten whichever indignant feline decided to greet me, but stood frozen when I found the Tim cat. Of course it was. It slinked past me toward the bed, tail curling into an unpleasant question mark. I retreated to the tub, overcome by an urge to bathe, to wash away the night. It was so strange to be unable to lose myself in my phone, sink into the depths of possibilities and comparisons and distraction. Maybe the bathtub had become a surrogate? I felt the cat watching as I undressed. When I looked over, it was fast asleep, or pretending to be. I heard they slept 16 hours a day. I'd grown used to oversleeping myself. There was only so much else you could do after numbing yourself to another wasted day, all you could do to recharge and start anew. How could I go back to that shame, the tundra of my job search? I'd become as afraid to flee as I was to stay. I collapsed onto the bed, startling the sleeping Tim Cat. It jerked its head in confusion, and I was overcome with how familiar the movement was. There was no worse reaction to betrayal than innocence. I reached a hand out to the cat. It sniffed my fingers, gave them a single lick, and curled into the crease of my armpit. Tim. What had become of him? Did he get my letter? I remembered the piece of glitter under his eye, the glint of the night we finally fucked. The dark sparkle of what he referred to as a mistake the next morning when I lifted it from his lashes. The cat purred. I stroked its throat and pulled away. It needed my back, half protest and half gratitude. Its tail flicked. I moved further to the edge of the bed, and then it pricked my spine with a single claw, an action so dexterous I froze. It curled into my back, and I felt drawn like a deep-sea creature to an angler's lantern. Feeling better? I stirred, felt the weight of Tim in my chest, the weight of the Tim Cat on my chest. The two were inseparable in my sleep. Lee was leaning against one of the mangy walls. "When I hadn't heard from you by noon," he said, "I figured you'd up and left. Glad Tim's got some company. He's been so reticent." The cat and I curled into one another, yin and yang. "It's hardly dawn," I said. Lee frowned. "That's sunset. You must have slept something like 16 hours. The Tim Cat sprawled like an ampersand, and Lee pulled a face. "Come on. Dinner's ready, and you haven't eaten a scrap since you arrived." I winced. Lee once more escorted me through the ribs of the castle, the Tim Cat trailing. Was this West? How many floors were there? Could I leave if I tried? "I made a steak," Lee said. "You haven't gone vegan, have you?" The cats were chomping away at the dining room table, licking their lips, peeping at us. Lucy, could I call them by their names, or would that be giving into Lee's madness? The cat that looked like Lucy stopped eating. It peered at me, seemed to smile. I gulped. The box of Pop-Tarts was still there. Lee took two plates from an oven and handed one to me. The steak looked charred. His, I noticed, was rare. Maybe the meat was to blame for his delusion. What were the side effects of eating undercooked meat? As I imagined the possibilities, another tidbit about felines entered my mind. A parasite in cat poop made humans like them more. Biological Stockholm syndrome. I shuddered. Made a point to keep whoever came calling that night out of my room, if I wasn't infected already. I knew, even without Lee present, how quickly affinity could become obsession. Nevertheless, the steak was good. I longed for potatoes, the rosemary atop the steak reminding me how I thought things should be. Steak should have potatoes. Castles should have feasts and gardens and lush rooms. I should have left. The cats emptied their bowls and departed, all flicking tails and shifty, glinting eyes. Only Kate remained. The cat stretched its long legs out and began licking itself, the feathered flips of hair slick with spit. She noticed me watching and pranced off the table. Lee giggled, the tongs of his fork held up to his quivering mouth. "How would you feel if I watched you bathing?" I retreated to my steak. "What does a cat care, Lee?" He pushed his chair back, languid in its plush. "Why is it so hard for you to be comfortable?" "What?" Lee picked at his teeth. "Look at how much everyone else has grown." "You know it's just us here, Lee. Come on. You know it is." He gestured with his fork. "I know what it is. You feel like change is compromise. Like if you give an inch, the world might take a mile. Right? Am I right, Daniel?" I sighed. "Lee, please stop pointing your fork at me. I want to talk about the cats." "And I want to talk about how you're incapable of letting go, Daniel." "Fine. What about you and your fucking castle? You think I won't compromise? Do you know how little I have left? How compromised my life is? You want to talk stubborn? You got your castle and it's a goddamn mess, but you want to talk to me about change?" Lee frowned. "Why do we continue, Daniel? That's the thing. How far are we willing to go? Your pictures were only good because you always went too far to get them. You're so afraid of what you want that you compromise everything to make those around you notice. That's why you're nobody now. You're nice, or you were nice to me. And I bet you were nice to everyone who spent the last 10 years stepping on you. Fuck you, Lee, and fuck your cats, too. Leave our friends out of this, Daniel." I didn't say anything. The only thing he was wrong about was the castle, its inhabitants. But the last thing I needed was somebody else telling me I fucked up. Somebody else taking advantage of my fuck up. Someone else spitting and telling me to fit in. "There's wine in the cellar," Lee proposed as he let me seethe. "Let's grab a bottle or two and we'll get to the bottom of this. You're not allowed to be angry at me sober." The cellar felt an eternity away from the dining room. Flickering gas lamps lit the filthy calico tunnel we traversed. It smelled fungal, and I was reminded somehow of my laundromat. Lee hummed to himself, refused to speak until we procured wine. I listened to his humming echo across the stone, unsure if I recognized the tune. We reached a wooden door with wrought iron hinges rusted to ginger. It was the first I'd seen without claw marks. Lee fussed with the handle, and we were met with the slow rumbling from a set of tanks, pipes, and grates. The cellar lights hissed to life. A long accordion of wooden slats held a considerable wine collection along one wall. The ceiling was vaulted brick. The floor looked like it had also once been brick, but it was too filthy to tell. It crunched underfoot as I walked toward the wine. "Okay," Lee yelled over the purring of the machine. "Red or white?" He said it as if wine were a game of chess. I crept to the slats, the crunching of the floor unnerving. Could we fall through to something even deeper? What had rock bottom become to me now? "Come on," Lee called. "Blood or bone?" I removed two bottles, one white, the other red. Best not to play. Lee was, of course, more moves ahead. "See, this is what I'm saying, Daniel. Just make a decision. Make any decision for yourself." I held steady to the bottles. The boiler purred away as Lee led us to a common room above the cellar stairs. He set forth piling a pyramid of logs inside a fireplace. I struggled with a letter opener and one of the wine corks, dismayed when the crackle of flames came before the slosh of wine into two waiting glasses. I sank into a taupe chair with a large heart-shaped back. Lee sat opposite, and a slight orange tabby jumped into his lap. "Sorry," Lee said, stroking its ears. "Karen always was sweet on me." I rolled wine from my lips to my throat, swallowing hard. It was smoky, caustic. More cats came, drawn to the flames, licking away at the wood like it was their raw meat. Lee, they're just cats. Weird, stretchy mammals you picked up because you're lonely. Because I'm the first one who made the mistake of actually coming here. He stared for so long, statuesque. The cats' tails flicked back and forth. They licked their lips. More came. "Please, Lee," I said. "You know it's true. Let me get help for you. Just say it back to me. They're just cats. Come on, say they're just cats." Tim jumped into my lap, stared at me with those familiar honey eyes. I'd never seen a cat with brown eyes. "Say it," I said, uncertain. Lee scratched at Karen's spine. "Have you noticed how the walls seem to breathe with the shadows from the fire?" I had, and I liked it even less than the glowing orbs of the cat's eyes. "There's no program to restore the castle," he whispered as more cats came and I refilled my glass. "I just heard somebody say they do that in Italy. It's been crumbling away for years." I thought of his disdain for shooting stars, chunks crashing off into nothing like melting polar caps. I thought of our friends splintering away from Lee one by one. Would the cats leave too? "How long have you been here?" The cats crept closer. Tim mewled in my arms. Lee poured the last of the first bottle of wine into his cup. "Always." I reached for the second bottle. Tim hissed as I stood up to retrieve the letter opener. He yowled at the silver handle. I uncorked the bottle and was just setting the letter opener back down when I noticed what was beneath it. A single piece of paper and a torn envelope. I recognized my handwriting in the fire glow. I gripped the letter opener, returned to my chair. Tim sprang immediately back into my lap, dug his claws into my leg. I watched Lee, looked for a false curve in his lips, anything that might bring an answer. How had my letter gotten here if it hadn't also gone to Tim? "What do you mean, always?" I asked, the words heavy as the wine did its duty. Nothing so far led me to believe his madness made him violent. I heard his glass clink against his teeth as he sucked at his wine. Tim dug his nails deeper into my leg. "The castle is made of tombstones," he finally said. I shivered. Felt Tim's hair standing on end. The pyramid of logs shifted and cinders flew up the chimney as Tim's tail puffed up. He swatted it back and forth, observant. "It started out," Lee continued, "as a chapel. I needed a place to sleep. Could hear the spirit trapped within whispering. It wanted additions, repairs. The castle hungers and I feed it. Watch it grow. The tombstones crack once the chiseled names are forgotten. It needs new death to sustain its life." My hand sweated against the letter opener. My glass was empty again. I couldn't recall drinking it. "And the cats?" Karen bounded from his lap. "Nine lives are better than one. Eight deaths sustain the castle, one to sustain me. That's the deal." "You have my letter," I said. "I took it from Tim. It's how I knew you'd come. Would you be a dear and get another bottle of wine?" Tim stared up at me. I swear the cat had tears in its eyes. He retreated from my lap, left the common room. I held the letter opener tight in my wrist. The cats watched as I inched my way back to the cellar staircase. I was very drunk. Could see the floor swaying and the walls breathing. "Daniel," Lee called from his seat, "are you going to return to the city?" I reached the stairs, the letter opener clumsy in my hand. "Yes," I said, peeking down the staircase. "That's good." Lee's voice was right at my neck. I dropped the letter opener in surprise. It clanked down the stairs. I swayed, felt a shove from behind, and tumbled down the steps after it. "I'm sure you'll land on your feet." Time became impossible in the darkness. I marked the days by the growth of hair on my chin, the shrinking up of my dehydrated skin, the strange petrichor of blood from my fall on the crumbled stone drying to an iron musk. Sometimes the lanterns flicked to life in the cellar and I searched for the letter opener. Sometimes I heard a yowl and remembered my open letter on the table. Slowly, I could see in the dark, hear more than the rasping purr of the boiler or the throbbing of pipes circulating warmth through the castle. I lived off mice, what creatures I could catch. Often, a stone would crumble out of place, a small compromise, a promise of change. I read the names on them, tried to make memories of the rotted out words, hoping someday someone might do the same for me, and the right stone might crumble for an escape. I traced the letters, needing, needing. Sharpening my claws, the castle couldn't breathe without its keeper. I could feel my ears twitched when I thought about it, awaiting an opportunity to pounce.
That was Paul Van Sickle's Dwelling, as read by Brian Rollins. Brian Rollins is a voice actor residing in Denver, Colorado. He's voiced over a dozen audiobooks, including the popular Glenn and Tyler series. Horror fans will want to check out his latest narration, Ancient Enemies, by Brian McKinley, a vampire political thriller. You can visit Brian at his website, thevoiceinmyhead.com, or on Twitter, at Voices of Brian. Thanks, Brian. Always awesome.
Well, children of the night, the hour is late, and we've run out of tales to tell. For now. Tales to Terrify is made possible by the tremendous generosity of our supporters on Patreon and PayPal. Incredible fans like Lesel Baxter, Paul Belcher, Amanda Carrillo, Amanda Gottfried, and Orion D. Higra, whose generous support helps keep the lights on and flickering ominously. Not a supporter already? Head over to patreon.com/talestoterrify, where you'll find all kinds of perks, like ad-free episodes, bonus content, and one-of-a-kind collectibles and merch packs. Every dollar goes back into this show to make it as horrific as possible, and we appreciate it so much. Want another way to support the show that doesn't cost a cent? Head over to Podchaser, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating or review. You'll not only put an unnaturally wide smile on our faces, but help new listeners discover our terrifying tales, too. Why not share your love of the show out in the world with some Tales to Terrify merch? TalesToTerrify.com/merch will take you to our TeePublic store, where we've got a great collection of creepy custom and curated designs, so you can show those around you just how twisted you truly are. Tales to Terrify is produced by Seth Williams, Meredith Morgenstern, Andrew Gibson, Crystal Hammond, Spencer Disparti, and myself, Drew Sebastini, with original theme by Nebulous Entertainment. Tales to Terrify is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License. Join us again next week as we dive deep into the inky depths in search of more Tales to Terrify.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.